And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit back and hash out some ideas, hash out some topics that have been bouncing around inside my head, try and see if we can't get a conversation started elsewhere, share these talking points with everybody. Did you listen to last week's episode about interstate advertising? It was kind of a rough one. It kind of bounced around. I apologize for that. Hopefully this one's not going to be as rough, but we'll see. Not to start this one off on a negative foot. But as I was doing all that research regarding the Federal Trade Commission and advertising and all that other stuff, I came across a paper written by John P. Nelson when he was at Pennsylvania State University back in 2004, talking about the advertising bans on alcohol and cigarettes. Something out there that kind of the basis of the paper just kind of looks at the effects of what consumers see through advertising and the direct or indirect, depending on which study this guy is referencing, those effects on the products themselves. And one of the crazier things that kind of caught my eye at the beginning is the advertising industry that the average American is exposed to is more than 100 advertising messages a day. I mean, again, this is back in 2004. The last bit of data he was using stemmed from the year 2000. But out of 1,000 messages back then, the average American only noticed 80. And you think about that, and you walk down the street, and technically an advertisement is a sign in a window. It's the paint job on the side of a vehicle. It's the commercial you see on TV. It's a billboard. It's all sorts of little tiny intricate things. If you ask me, even when you ship a Amazon box, even if you reuse it, you see that smile, that's advertising. That's all the little tiny things, even t-shirts. How did I skip that one? But, you know, you've got all of this out there to, in a nutshell, inform you that the product exists. That's kind of the baseline, especially within this paper. Brings to light is advertising is mostly there to let you know that the product exists. And as he went along to explain, back in the 1870s, you saw the advancement of refrigeration cars on trains, and that increased the advertising of meat processors and meat packers because now they can get their product further and further. You know, back in the day, everybody kind of lived in the city, and as the car gained popularity, people were able to move further and further out, not being stuck downtown. And that also changed their way of advertising. And another really cool kind of tidbit is back in 1954, the average household had at least one TV set. And TV advertising grew from almost 500,000 to 2.5 billion in only 13 years. Advertisers understood the ability to get the message out. They understood the importance and just the chance to do it. Spending money. Now, that's just the TV market. But we also, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, was created in 1914 there to prevent false advertising, to prevent misleading information. Again, you know, the simple one within this paper was the ban on cigarettes, or the advertising ban on cigarettes. Sitting there being able to say that whether or not they're healthy. I don't think I have anything highlighted here in regards to necessarily what they were protecting against. But the conclusion under the cigarette advertising ban doesn't seem to have necessarily the effect that it did on alcohol. By about 1938, everybody was coming to understand the negative health impacts of cigarettes. I think there was a study as early as 1912 that started connecting the cancer dots. But yet the advertising ban within alcohol, between billboards and TV and radio, didn't sway or had more of an impact. And even with that was kind of also based within the state. One of the things that was brought up was the price comparisons. In certain states, you're not allowed to advertise the price of alcohol. And under Rhode Island, that was more there to protect in-state companies and businesses than it was to protect the consumer. One of the things that has definitely evolved, that has changed from when this paper was written, was the process in which the individual had to go search for the price comparison. We're pretty spoiled nowadays with the internet and Amazon shopper marketplace stuff, where you go there and you're like, well, do I want to spend $9.98 plus $3 in shipping? Or do I want to spend $13 in free shipping? All the prices are right there. They're stacked in aggregate. Whereas back in the day, you know, this person would advertise at this is only $10. And you would actually have to go across town and go into another store to find out that actually it's on sale for $8 over there. Tourism is kind of baseline. It's brought up. You know, certain companies will still have that ability to maintain your confusion, or not even confusion, but your lack of information, your inability or unwillingness to go across town to find that. But looking at how much advertising is kind of controlled or looked at, one another thing that's brought up in the paper is the marketplace, the overall collection of money that is spent on advertising is so huge, so large, that everybody is spending as much as they can. Because if they don't spend the money, then they kind of disappear. They kind of fall to the wayside. And the paper does bring up that it becomes a tough thing for up-and-comers to show up into the marketplace. It's kind of along the same lines of what I've said about the political games. You get this brand new idea. You have this awesome widget. And you want to advertise. But it only goes so far. You only got $100 to spend on advertising. Simple round number. When everybody is spending $1,000 on advertising. You'll get your message out. You'll get something shown. But how far will that actually reach and communicate with people? It does become a limiting factor to get your ideas out into the space of things. Some guy quoted in the paper, Vance Packard, wrote that advertisers can channel our unthinking habits, our purchase decisions, and our thought processes by the use of insights gleaned from psychiatric and the social sciences. And the author goes on to say, once a hidden secret is revealed, such manipulation is less effective in the marketplace. That brings me along the lines to think about subliminal advertising. We can think of that under the auspices of back in the day with the talkies or the pictures. And you'd sit there and you would see, thank you, background noise. You'd see the one or two frame clips within those, where they'd flash a candy bar or a bucket of popcorn or even a soda. And it would sit there and it would trigger your hunger senses. Or a place like Subway, who actively learned that piping the smell of their bread cooking triggered your hunger senses. Those little subliminal advertisings. And then you think about maybe some of the pharma advertisements and how they're romping and frolicking through fields of flowers with giant smiles on their faces. And you no longer have to worry about acne. Just don't read the fine print at the bottom of the page or the bottom of the TV. it's kind of scary when you think about, you know, these people are spending money, again, to get their product out there. They want a return on investment. They put their time and effort and money, again, behind it. They want to make some of that back, plus some. But again, it's all subliminal. All the little tiny things to get you to think about it. The little puppy in there. Now, another thing that was brought up, again, was the billboards. And there's the assumption that that had a bigger impact on the youth, the younger people driving by seeing those than it did for the adults. I remember back in the day that the study came out saying that more people knew who Joe Camel was than they did Mickey Mouse. And that was kind of due, again, to the advertising. Even though I came around after this law of banning billboard signs of cigarettes, it was still kind of a pretty well-known deal. What are our current day billboards? What's the easiest way to target youth? Something that they'll see as they're cruising around, taking the electric freeway. What a terrible nickname. Cruising the internet. You think about place like YouTube, where they're hammering down on all the advertisements. We now have selective advertisements. We have things that are specifically designed for our tastes. One of the things that was, again, brought up in the paper was back in the day, it was really hard to narrow your demographic. Narrow your target audience. You just kind of had to go on a whim with what kind of people live in this area, what kind of products do they normally buy, and then advertise them all. Now, the number's not in the paper, but I would speculate to say, you know, only 50% of the people are going to be interested in your product, and then 25% of them might buy it, using simple numbers. Whereas now we have the algos, we have the algorithms out there to selectively choose you and me. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a convenient thing for you and me. And I think about the times of watching VHS tapes, and you got 13 minutes of advertisements. Because you bought this movie, we think you'll like these 8 other movies. Or you think back to the time of TV before everybody had a DVR and could fast forward through commercials. You're watching this TV show, so you might be interested in these 7 products. Now, TV advertising hasn't gone away. It's still there. Certain companies choose to have their product specifically identified with certain TV shows. But again, now we're here in the time of the internet, a time when your home assistant or your cell phone is listening to you talking about dog food so they can advertise you dog food in your internet browsing. Or the less, I don't know if they're less effective, but the ones that make the least amount of sense, kind of along the lines of what we hear from Amazon purchasers. You bought this, so let's advertise it some more. Just kind of silly. But yet Amazon does use that information effectively. There was a story I heard on the radio the other day where this specific jacket became a hit all of a sudden. This woman's jacket. And there's enough people that purchased similar items across the board, across the states. And Amazon said, well, because so-and-so bought this, you might like it. And they kind of spread like wildfire. The money in online advertising is absolutely incredible. Looking here on Forbes, they're saying that U.S. digital marketing spend will nearly hit $120 billion by 2021. You might mean you look at TV advertising from $454 million in 1952. And again, like I said, 13 years later to 1965 to $2.5 billion. That's just in TV. And now internet advertising is at $120 billion. My apologies. Advertising is not going away. Everybody will be there to kind of dig at us, figure out what we like, figure out what our neighbors like, and make the money. And again, we have the cheaper ways, again, thankfully to the Amazon Marketplace as a simple one, where your advertising doesn't need to be huge. You just need to have it up. And Amazon does that for you, does the marketing for you. But how do we all get our names out there? How do we get our product line? How do we get the grand scheme of things out? You know, Justice Blackburn wrote, people will perceive their own best interests if only they are well enough informed. And the best means to an end is an open to the channels of communication rather than to close them. That kind of falls under the closing line I offered last week. That even though we have all this wonderful advertising, all this stuff to inform us of our options, doesn't mean we should take everything hook, line, and sinker. We have the FTC out there to protect us from unfair practices. But even still, we have to understand that I guess they're coming at us. Have I made all of this concise enough? Have I even made a point? I hope I have. I hope. But again, these were all kind of talking points, and granted, I kind of did a basic recap on a paper that I found half of it interesting, and half of it was kind of just full of information that I wasn't necessarily looking for. But advertising's a big market. Advertising is there to entice you, to inform you. It's there to get you to spend your money. So I guess as long as we can accept the fact that everybody's out there just trying to get that money out of our old wallets, we can be a little bit more careful. We can understand that they're spending money on it. They're spending money to make sure that they get the best return on their investment. But either way, I'm Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y, B-O-N, the number 3-S. You reach me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. I got a website, billybones.com. You find past episodes. You find a link to email me. You find a link to the Discord server. Tell me what I got right. Tell me what I got wrong. Share your ideas with me. Share your ideas with your friends, family. And in the spirit of advertising, I'll ask for your help, because I'm not spending money on advertising. This is a out of my own pocket expense for my hobby. I do appreciate you listening. Maybe find an episode that someone might like and tell them to listen to it. Give it a share. But I love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.